Bibles this evening, if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll not spend most of our time there, but just by way of introduction, 2 Peter 1, and in the first verse he explains that he is writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. To set the context of who he's writing to. And he says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When I read verse number 3, and I read the beginning of that verse, and I see, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, it speaks to my soul, and I have to read it, and I have to say to myself, then all of my shortcomings are mine. I can't look at my shortcomings, and I can't look at the issues that Mark has and say that Mark's issues are because of the circumstances that God has placed me in. I can't say that. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. As I consider that thought that Mark's issues are not a product of not having what I need, not being in the right circumstance. When we read 2 Peter 1, verse 3, and we see that his divine power has given us all the things that we need, that we are equipped with the things that we need, it goes to say then that there's a failure to implement all the things that God has given us for life and godliness. And that is the conclusion that I have to draw concerning my own self. I believe in all of these passages there's a depth that I can't attain to. In all of these passages, our knowledge, though much study, though years of growing up in church and preaching the passages again and again and again, it's really very much a surface knowledge of the passage. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read a familiar passage in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This morning, the Christian life, we saw that it was likened to a race. Probably by the looks of 99.9% of Christians, you would never guess that it's a race. You would have never deducted that outside of the Scriptures. In this passage, it is brought about to us from the idea of armor that it is a battle, that it is a war. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He mentioned a little phrase there, the evil day. Back in chapter number 5, he mentions that the days are evil. I think that the reality of that, the reality of verse number 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, the reality of the evil day. I know we know as a whole it's an evil time, but the reality of the fact that tomorrow you will face an evil day. It is an evil day. And evil will pursue you. And it is a battle. And he mentions here this armament, this preparation, these features that prepare us. He said, wherefore, in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. That there is an ability to stand in the evil day. There is that ability, there is that possibility, no matter how evil the day is, that if we utilize these features, and I personally have just never really even scratched the surface of what is here, of what it means in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, in His strength. Many times we face this battle and we face this race, and I'm guilty of facing it in my might, just trying to muscle my way through it without any real spiritual preparation, trying to just muscle my way through. And he goes on to list some protection for this battle, some armament, some preparation, some implements. And he begins in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And I believe that though it entails doctrinal truth, it's much more than just a doctrinal truth that's mentioned there. A sincerity, a realness. In Psalms 51, if you'll turn there briefly, keep your thumb in Ephesians 6. In Psalms 51, David is confessing his sin. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge, he's being honest. He's being sincere. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. It's an interesting thing there. It never struck me as this, but the loins, the girding of the loins, as we mentioned a few weeks ago in Sunday school when we were looking at the clothing of the priest, that his loins were girded to cover his nakedness for the service that he performed, and he had his loins girt. But truth, to many of us, sincerity and truth seems like nakedness. I mean, it's almost like an oxymoron. That we should be covered with truth. In fact, it seems as though we would rather cover ourselves with lies and insincerity, and that feels more like a covering sometimes to us. And though it really provides no covering for our nakedness. But many times we're tempted to hide our sins, to lie about what we are, to place on a facade. If we think of ourselves here back in Ephesians chapter 6, this is the first that's mentioned, and I believe it's first. I think it has to be done first. Having your loins girt about with truth. If we're going to place this armament on, of course, we're going to place it on before we enter the battle zone. It's going to be placed on first thing in the morning. And all of these things are things, though he mentions different body parts, they're all things that occur in our mind. all of these things occur. These are all things, these are all a frame of mind. They're metaphors in different parts of the body, but they're all a frame of mind. So gird yourself in the morning, first thing, with sincerity, with truth, with honesty, with integrity. First of all, that is the first covering. And though we may be tempted, and we maybe it's easier to see some of these armaments almost in their reverse, in their negative, because we are tempted in opposition to this, we are tempted to first thing put on a facade in the morning. That's our temptation. Our temptation, the infirmity of our flesh is to first of all to hide from the truth and to put on a facade and to go about not being honest with ourselves, not being honest with God, not being honest with believers around us, and having a mindset of dishonesty. The Bible mentions a parable about a man that beholds his face in the glass and forgets what manner of man he is. That's a very tempting thing to do. To pat ourselves up with a little bit of pride and put on a little bit of facade, and that feels like a good covering and that feels safe, but it really is just the opposite. The only thing that will truly cover you is honesty and truth. A cloak of lies it'll never cover you. It never will. And so first of all, this honesty, this sincerity, this truth, that of course involves doctrinal truth, I believe, but very much truth in every sense of it, inclusive in this, not gird with some facade or something else. And when we think about all things, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and different groups of like that, they require honesty. You're not going to get anywhere at all. Step one, honesty. That's step one. You're not going anywhere without that. None of us are going anywhere tonight in the Word of God without honesty with ourselves, what we are. These issues are my issues. And I like the next piece here, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That goes over all that girding you just did. Hangs over all of that. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm glad that it's the breastplate of righteousness and not a breastplate of righteousness. There's a big difference. I'm glad that it's the breastplate of righteousness, because oh, how miserable would it be to gird your loins with truth and sincerity and recognize and be honest with the fact that you're a sinner without that breastplate of righteousness. How vulnerable we would be to have girded ourselves with truth without that breastplate of righteousness. It's the breastplate of righteousness, not a. It's His, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to wear. What a wonderful thing to have on. What a mind frame that I have today, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Despite what I am, despite what's inside of me, I have upon me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the most peaceful, the most wonderful thing that you can think of. And you get there first by girding your loins with truth. And then that breastplate of righteousness over top of that. That is not your own. You don't want to go out into battle with a breastplate of righteousness. That's no good. That won't cover you. And again, some of these things we see in the negative. Certainly a backload of sin would... carrying a burden of sin. Pastor talked about carrying these weights and burdens. They're no good for running and they're no good for battle. Carrying about a mindset of the backlog of sin, that won't protect you in battle. You need a breastplate. of righteousness. The breastplate, it has several features. One of the features is it's obviously to protect you, to cover you. One of the other features of the breastplate is it's an identification. It was how you were identified as to which group you were with was on that breastplate. And when you swell your chest up, you thump not on a breastplate of righteousness, but the breastplate of righteousness. I have the righteousness of Christ. That's a blessed thought. Make sure the world understands that it's the breastplate of His righteousness and not yours, not your own. Reading on, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a funny picture to get in your mind, but far too common. A soldier with all of his armor on and no shoes. Not going anywhere. I mean, there he is. He's fortified. He's ready. And he's just hunkered down taking the darts. I mean, that describes much of my life. Just deflecting darts. I hunker down and you can't go very far without shoes. You're not going far without shoes. You're not going anywhere without shoes. You won't go without shoes. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And again, all of these things are things that you do in your mind. Again, there are different parts of the body that relate to his metaphor. If you don't have the mind of the gospel of peace, you won't take it to anybody. You won't go anywhere. Why are we not witnessing people? Because we're not people of the gospel of peace. It's not in our hearts. It's not in our minds. Take with you each day the gospel of peace. A mindset of this good news. The gospel means good news. It's good news of peace. In contrast to that, what do we often pick up in the morning instead of strapping on shoes of the gospel of peace, I strap on shoes of heavy, weighty shoes of earthly care. Not the good news of the gospel do I take with me to lighten my step and send me on my way, but oftentimes it's a load of earthly care. It's the things of this world. It's the bad news that surrounds me, not the good news of the gospel, but the bad news around me and all the things that I know I have to deal with. That's what I often strap to my feet on Monday morning. Those are the things that often go with me. And I wonder, why am I so vulnerable? Because of these things. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The statements here are so bold. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. All of them. Fiery darts, when we think of fiery darts, all of our other armor is relating to more of a combat type situation, but fiery darts, they come from afar. They're launched. These are things that are launched from afar. You can be safe and sound. You can be in the house of God. It doesn't matter where you're at, and fiery darts can find you. Where do they come? They come in your mind. That's where they come. Fiery darts come. The shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Quite often, instead of the shield of faith, this pastor mentioned rubbish. We've got all kinds of flammable tinder around us. At any given moment in my brain, tons of flammable tinder, tons of thoughts and things that I've left there that at any moment could be ignited by a fiery dart. The horrible gasoline of doubts and fears. The opposite of faith is doubt. There's another thing also that's opposed to faith in the Bible, and that's good works. The the tindery pile of good works that you thought were worth something. All of these things can be consumed by his darts, the fiery darts of the wicked. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. We see these last two use the word take. Take these things. If you're a child of God, it is given that you have the breastplate of righteousness, whether you have recognized that or not. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Some of these latter things, it just seems to be optional whether or not we tend to use them. We tend to take them. Take the helmet of salvation, a mindset of justification and redemption. Turn back to 2 Peter for just a moment. In 2 Peter, we read in verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That information that's in your mind, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There is a type of life that is lived forgotten of salvation. He that lacketh those certain things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged of his old sins. Live in the light of the fact that you've been purged of your old sins. I came out of Sunday school just in time to catch a little bit about the man that was healed and how that change that took place. And because of what Christ had done for him, how that he had, in light of that, in knowledge of that, in memory of that, had wanted to be different. And he, several other times through this passage, in verse 12, he speaks of putting these things in the remembrance. The same in verse 13 and the same in verse 15 speaks of putting those things in their mind, a mindset of salvation, of justification. Turning back now to Ephesians 6. Verse 17, we read, it said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Again, notice the wording there, not a sword of spirit. That's how I've often read that, a sword of spirit. The Bible is not just a sword of spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's weapon. We read in the Old Testament, there's a passage that I like when David is fleeing from his enemies and He comes through the temple and he says, is there any sword here? And he said, well, remember Goliath's sword, that's back here. And he said, give me that one, there's none like that. Give me that sword. We have been offered to us the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. We just really have not scratched the surface of what that means. We're not scratched the surface of how valuable, how important that is. few passages. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is a very familiar one. It's one I've been dwelling on lately. It's been my kids' memory verse. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Just consider that for a moment. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that, or so that, thou mayest observe to do. Is there a failure in doing? Part of that, in part, may relate to this one member of the armament, that the Word of God, the sword, the Spirit's sword, does not have the place in our mind that it should. Certainly, this is one of the breakdowns that I can trace failure in my life to. Certainly, when I've gone out of the way, I've forgotten many of the exhortations, many of the things in this book. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Notice how strong this language has been all through these passages. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So what's the problem, Mark? Well, it's an implementation problem. It's all there. There's features that I'm not accessing. They're there. I'm not using them. God has provided features that was simply I've taken lightly, taken for granted. Psalm 119:9, familiar passage, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto the word of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Speak of them when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He goes on to say, write them on the post of your gates and make them as frontlets between your eyes and write them everywhere. If we really knew, if we really considered, if we really believed that it was the sword of the Spirit, it'd be a much, much bigger part of our lives. It'd be much, much more integrated in the fabric of our day at every turn, at every moment. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, turning back there again. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Paul didn't ask for very many things, but he asked for prayer. He needed prayer. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. All of these things together. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. He reiterated that same thought in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Many times it might cross our mind to take some of the armor, to take a piece or two, but take on all these mindsets. First of all, a mindset of truth. That which is correct. That which is sincere. Then the breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. The preparation of the gospel. How many days go by and the gospel doesn't even go through our mind? It happens. If the gospel was going through our minds, there's many things that you and I wouldn't do. Very plainly. If the gospel was in our mind, we wouldn't act the way we act, react the way we react. The helmet of salvation, remembering, considering our salvation. A lot of things, again, that would be cut out with the helmet of salvation. So many wounds that we take to the head. So many things that enter into our minds that never would if we were mindful of our salvation. The sword of the Spirit, the Spirit's tool, the tool that the Spirit uses to work in the hearts of every man. Take that one with you, that it could work on you, that it could guide you, that it could direct you. And praying always. I hope that there are no days that go by that you don't pray. I don't know how you could survive. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Sometimes I have to be honest, sometimes that's the only one I took. Prayer. Thought I was doing pretty good, you know. More than maybe the next guy took prayer with me. Most of the time it's just the it's the emergency lever. It's the emergency parachute because I didn't take anything else with me. Oh Lord, fix this. Help me now. Amen. Help me because I didn't do any of the other things you told me to do. If we were to be honest with ourselves. But the breakdown, it's not God's fault. According as He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's a hard thing to consider. I've got many failures, many things in my mind, many issues of my own. When I look at them all and I sum them all up, I can't point to Him. Because He's given me everything that I need. And there's so many, I mean, this is just one of so many passages. So many things, just like this morning, that are so easily left behind. Features we're not implementing. You know, we get a new car or a new computer, we pour through the manual, we try to understand the features. We try to know how to use it the best way that we can. We try to implement all the features. We just seem to do the exact opposite with the Christian life. You just seem to ignore it all and just well, grace will just take care of it. And we just find ourselves in a mess. But He's given us everything that we need. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. As Pastor mentioned, it's no excuse that the day is evil. It's not an excuse. We've been forewarned. We've been told it would be. And we've been given everything that we need. And it's here. It's me. The ball's in my court. It's Mark's issue. I gotta be honest about it and I gotta deal with it. And all of these things are a frame of mind that we arm ourselves with. A frame of mind every day. And it's very easy to forget. Most of us will forget. Just it'll pass through from our minds. I've been chewing over this passage for several weeks and days, more days than didn't. It just floated right away. It's so hard. It has to become a habit of life to arm ourselves with these thoughts. It's one of the reasons as believers why we try to come to the house of God as often as we can. Try to rearm ourselves. Try to refresh ourselves, to try to refocus ourselves, to, you know, it's not just our hope is not just a ritual, a thing that you do, but a time of refreshing, a time of rearming, a time of getting our mind reset back to the way it should be. We'll stop there and turn the services over to our pastor.